Let me give you the kind of introduction to that passage of Scripture I asked Ron to read for us earlier. Moses and Joshua have been up on the mount. Moses a little further up on the mount than Joshua. They've been up there 40 days and 40 nights. The Scripture says in another location that Moses had fasted, and he did not only without food, but he did without water all that time. God's giving to him all of his law. He's giving to him all the instructions pertaining to the tabernacle, which we've studied, and the priesthood. And the Lord has given him instructions about the sacrifices that are to be offered to him. Now, Moses being up there on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights, his presence was missed down in the camp of Israel. He's up on Mount Sinai, and then the rest of the camp of Israel, the rest of the nation of Israel, they're down in the valley. And they're waiting. And they wait, and they wait, and they become very impatient. And so they go to Aaron. They say, Moses, we don't even know where he's at. We don't know what has become of Moses. And so here's what we want you to do, is make us gods. Now look at verse 1 of chapter 32. And when the people saw, Exodus 32:1, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron, and they said unto him, up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we want not what is become of him. And Aaron, trying to get along with the people. That's a big mistake when it comes to religion. That man who is faithful unto God is not interested in getting along with people. He's interested in honoring God with God's true message. That one who would faithfully honor God and serve the cause of Christ will boldly speak to people about the things of the Lord. He believes God's word. He'll set forth God in his holiness, in his sovereignty, in his justice. He'll tell people what they are in themselves. All of us, we're sinful people. God's servant will tell people not what they want to hear by nature, but what God has revealed to him. And he'll speak to the people about the necessity of having a mediator between them and God. And you're not your own mediator. Neither is your mother or your father. Neither is the preacher. The only mediator between you and God is that man, Christ Jesus. God will only deal with, he'll only speak with us through that man, through that God-man, Christ Jesus. That's what God's faithful servants do. And Aaron, he really makes a big mistake here. Because he seeks to please the people. We read what Paul said, if I seek to please the people, I'm not the servant of God. All right, Aaron, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? They said, up, make us gods, which will go before us. And he says to them in the second verse, break off the golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives and up your sons and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. Now, many writers, I'll just give you this. Many writers believe that Aaron figured they wouldn't give up their gold. That was too high a price to pay. Or to get the gold in Egypt. As the Israelites left Egyptian bondage, the Egyptian women, they said to them, take anything you want. Well, we'll take your gold, we'll take your silver. And, like I say, most writers believe that Aaron, he just kind of figured, well, they'll never give up their gold. But don't be too quick to judge people. He misjudged them because they were indeed willing to give up their gold. Let me tell you something. There are great sacrifices that people will make even in false religion. And so they gave up their gold. And they gave it to Aaron. They break off their earrings, and look at verse 4. He received them at their hand. And he fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods. They said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Now, Moses has only been up in the mountain 40 days. How long does it take for idolatry to go through kind of like wildfire spread through a group of people? It doesn't take too long. And I remind you, these people are just several weeks away from being redeemed by the blood of the Passover lamb. They knew that that price that was paid for their redemption was the blood of an innocent victim, which pointed to God's lamb. They knew that. The seed of the woman is coming. They knew that. And yet here they are just several weeks away from being redeemed out of Egyptian bondage, and God made a way for them to go through the Red Sea. One path. Their preacher, he's been gone up on the mountain just about 6 weeks. And already idolatry sets in. Oh, how wicked is the heart of man. Always ready to make a God that he can see. Our God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And in their minds, they're thinking about way back there in Egypt. In Egypt, the Egyptians, they had a god, Apis. He was the calf, he was the bull that they worshiped. They made this bull out of gold, and then right at the front of it was a serpent's head that came out. A weird looking creature. And here the Israelites, people who ought to know better. These are the people of God. These are the people that God, by His mercy, chose as a nation to be a separate people. And now they're saying, we want to be like the rest of the nations. We want to have a God we can see. And so, Aaron fashioned them a God that they could get along with. You see, the natural man is religious. Isn't that right? Everybody is religious. You say, well, you know, preacher, churches all around us, they're doing so good. You look at what a great crowd they've got. Well, I tell you, there's a massive crowd here. They had a bunch of people. That doesn't mean God's with you. The evidence of the presence of the Spirit of God is not a parking lot overflowing with vehicles and a church building overflowing with people bringing out chairs. That's not an indication of the presence of God. You see, where God is present, there's worship, there's reverence, there's respect. This was a big religious festival, is what this was. This is great excitement. And that's not unlike what people want today. People by nature want religion that's exciting. Oh, it's exciting to go to church. I feel so good going to church. The preacher makes us laugh. He entertains us on our way to hell. He makes us feel good about ourselves. And then we fellowship with one another. They fellowship with one another. It says that they sat down and they ate and drank and then rose up and then they played some kind of games. Let's all play bingo. That's man's religion. Let's get a crowd together. Well, you can get a crowd together. We'll just tape under these pews several $5 bills and just tell people, come on in. When we start Sunday school again, we'll start giving things away. Oh, we can fill up the building. There's a way to fill up the building. I used to do it. I know what that's about. But there's something about the very truth of God that it whittles us down. It brings us to the end of ourselves, and we're made to know this is not about us, it's about God. That's the reason when Moses, when he came down, started coming down from the mountain, and Ron read to us, he threw the law down and broke it. That law written with the very finger of God. His is a holy anger. The scripture doesn't say don't be angry. It says be angry and don't sin. Oh, he had a holy anger. Moses did when he came down. He's coming off that mountain and Joshua said, I hear the noise of battle. There's a battle going on. And Moses said, no, that's not it. This is the noise of a bunch of people getting together and they're happy. Is that what church is supposed to be? It just be, let's everybody be happy. Be happy all the time. Let's all clap and yell and wave our arms together and such stuff as that. Is that what it's about? Then all get together and fellowship. People who have attended larger congregations than ours, they'll tell you tomorrow, we had such a wonderful service. I tell you, people at our church love one another. Everybody hugs one another. And we just have a great time together. This is not about fun. It's not about having a good time. It's about worship. What do we know about worship? What do we know about honoring God? Solomon said, God's in heaven, you on earth. Keep your mouth shut. Remember to reverence Him. The fear of the Lord, the reverence of the Lord, the worship of the Lord, that's the beginning of wisdom. That's the beginning of knowledge. And that's the last thing that people do, so they don't have any knowledge. Don't have any wisdom. Idolatry. And you know, when Moses, after he threw the law down and broke it, and he took that golden calf that Aaron had made, and he ground it to powder. First of all, he melted it, and then ground it to powder, and then strewed it on the water, and made the people drink of it. And I would say that'd be the leaders of Israel to drink of it. Here's what Aaron said to Moses. Well, Moses said to Aaron, look at verse 21. And Moses said unto Aaron, verse 21, Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee that thou hast brought such a great sin on them? What in the world did they do? And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. You know the people. You know how people are. They're set on mischief. And that is the truth. That's how people are. They're set on mischief. Aaron blamed it on the people. That's just the way people are. This is what they wanted, so this is what I gave them. Well, Aaron, you're behaving like all the false preachers in the world. They find out what people want to hear, like to hear, love to hear. That's what they give them. Aaron, make us a God. A God we can see. Moses, so that's not made yet. When Aaron saw it, he built an altar and he made a proclamation that said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. He's not leaving the name of God out of it. You see, people are there, most people are wise enough to know, they're smart enough to know, let's don't leave God out of it. Because we believe God. We believe there's a God. That's good, isn't it? We believe there's a God. Don't leave God out of it. We're not atheists. We're not agnostics. We're God-fearing people. That's what most all your friends will say. And look at verse 6. They rose up early on the morrow. They offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. Burnt offerings. That's what God said for Abraham to do pertaining to Isaac. Offer him as a burnt offering unto me. The burnt offering was a sacrifice to God, to appease God. That pointed to the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus, who died that God might be just and justify the ungodly. So not only burnt offerings, but then peace offerings. Peace offering was the offering made because the burnt offering had been offered to God. We're at peace with God now. Everything's all right. We got a no-so salvation. We're as sure for heaven as if we was already there. That's the kind of language people use in religion today. And when Moses comes down off that mountain, he's unhappy. In fact, I'll tell you this. These folks fully deserve God's wrath. And nobody here that would disagree with that. They deserve God's wrath. And actually, God was ready to kill them. He's going to wipe them all out. Look what he says to Moses, verse 7. Moses up on the mount still. The Lord said unto Moses, go, get thee down. Watch the language. For thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They turned aside quickly out of the way. That's what men will do. They'll turn aside quickly out of the gospel. Let me tell you something. If our God doesn't keep us, we'll turn aside too. We'll turn aside too. Something else will attract us. Something else will draw us. Something else will have an appeal to us. I tell you, it's God who must do the work in the heart and keep that work going. Verse 8 again. They turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They've made them a molten calf. They've worshipped it. They've sacrificed thereunto. They said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it's a stiff-necked people. This is one stubborn bunch here. Now therefore, this is what he says to Moses. Leave me alone. Leave me alone that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them. I'm going to wipe them all out, Moses. You better get away from them. And I'll make of you a great nation. That's what he says. I'll make of you a great nation. And Moses, he's a type of our Lord Jesus. He's the intercessor. He's the mediator. And Moses, he besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people? Watch his language now. Against thy people, the Lord had said back up here in verse 8, or verse 7, the Lord said to Moses, it's thy people. Now Moses said, no, Lord, it's your people. It's your people. Why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which I didn't bring them forth? You did. You did. You brought them out of the land of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand. Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief he brought them out. He just brought them out to kill them and to consume them. He says, Moses said to the Lord, turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. What is repentance? Just to change of direction. Now, God did change the direction of his providence, but he didn't change his purpose, because God never changes his purpose. And here's what Moses said to the Lord in verse 13. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, unto whom you swore. By thine own self, you said, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give it unto your seed, that they may inherit it forever. Moses said, Lord, remember your covenant. Remember your covenant. And here's what we call on our God to do. Lord, I know we're still a rebellious people, and I know that really, to a degree, we're still idolatrous. We're all idolatrous. Say, oh, no, I'm not. So often, every one of us, we idolize self. You know we do. That's the way we are. We're concerned with me, mine, and mine. That's what we're concerned about. When you pray before the Lord, Do you pour out your heart? Do you shed tears over people you don't even know? I say, Lord, bless my family. Lord, save my family. That's the way we are. Don't tell me you're not idolatrous. We are. To a degree, we are. And we look forward to that day when the Lord will rip all of that idolatry out of our hearts when we get to glory. And will only honor Jesus Christ the King. But we're all idolaters. These people deserve the wrath of God. But to have somebody praying for them. Yes, sir, they had somebody interceding for them. Moses. And you and me, those of us who love the gospel, we're still sinful people. Thank God we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He prays for us. What does He pray? 5 bleeding wounds I bear, received on Calvary. Forgive them, Father. Forgive them. That's what those wounds cry out. The blood of our Lord Jesus. Well, Moses makes the people drink the water. These people, you look at religion today, and as you see the excitement, if you watch any of the crazy religious programs on television, you see that kind of religious fervor and zeal. How excited people get. That's the way these were. It's like they're wound up to a religious frenzy. That's the reason you see people on television doing this, you know, and just say, well, there's sincerity. I don't doubt that. But there's no truth to it. No truth. So, well, they mention the name of God. That preacher, he didn't preach a lot of good things, but he talked about, he did say a few things about God. Well, whoopee. The devil believes there's a God and he even trembles. Did that preacher tell you who God is? In His holiness? In His sovereignty? That God says, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy, and whom I will, I'll harden them. Did he tell you what you are, that preacher? Did he tell you what you are? Is it like that preacher on television who says, I don't ever call anybody a sinner. That's so offensive. We've all made mistakes. Well, I sure don't want to be around him. Because God's wrath waxes hot against that sort of stuff. We're sinful people. We need a mighty Savior. Don't you see that? There's only one who can help us. There's only one sacrifice that fully put away sin. That's the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Moses, he's so fed up with these people, but he loves them. And he stands in the gate. He's looking at all these people who are naked. Aaron made them naked. What religious nonsense and foolishness is all of this? Well, I tell you, you fall in with false religion, there's no depth too deep but what you can't fall into it. You just get deeper and deeper. And Moses stood in the gate of the camp, verse 26. And he said, who's on the Lord's side? That's the message. That's the issue right there. It's not who's religious. Everybody's religious. It's not who's got a big crowd. Lots of churches got a big crowd. It's not who's got the religious excitement. A lot of churches got religious excitement. The issue is, who's on the Lord's side? Who's on the Lord's side? And all the sons of Levi had gathered themselves together to him. He said, put your sword on, every one of you. And you go out there and you find somebody who's still committing idolatry. They're so upset that their God has been squashed. Tell you what, you start killing somebody's God, they're going to get upset. You got a God who loves everybody and hates nobody? I wish I could squash that God. Grind it to powder. You got a Jesus who died for everybody but saved nobody, unless he agrees with what they did, unless a person believes him and adds faith to what he did. I want to grind that to powder. A spirit of God who's trying to save everybody is knocking at your heart door. Won't you let me in? What a pitiful, sissy Savior you got. He can't help you. I want to take that golden calf and grind it to powder. Just drink it and choke on it. That's what Moses did. Get your sword on. Why don't you take the word of God to your family? You got family members that believe all this hogwash. Take the word of God to them. Take them this CD. Who's on the Lord's side? I tell you what these Levites did, and they went around and they killed 3,000. And I would take this to be 3,000 of the tribe of Levi. 3,000 of the tribe of Levi. Who's on the Lord's side? By the way, maybe a good question to ask, what is the Lord's side? What does it mean to be on the Lord's side? Well, it means, first of all, to agree with Him. You can't be on somebody's side and be in disagreement with them. Who's on the Lord's side? People who agree with what His Word says. Amos 3 and verse 3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Don't tell me you're on the Lord's side, but you don't believe what the Lord says. Who's on the Lord's side? People who worship God as He set forth in the Scriptures. That's who's on God's side. Not this God who is like a Santa Claus in the sky. He wants to give you all these presents. Not just at Christmas, but all year round. If only you would receive them. Not that God. I'm talking about the God who does His will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And nobody can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? I'm talking about the God who says, I will do all my pleasure. So I don't think God can act unless I let Him act. He's going to roll right over you and there won't be as much as just a smudge left of you. And His purpose will just keep on going. You think He needs you? What is the Lord's side? It's to agree with God. See, this is the issue. Who's on the Lord's side? Not who's got the crowd, who's got the excitement, who's got religion. The issue is, who's on the Lord's side? That's what I'm asking you. Who's on the Lord's side? What does it mean to be on the Lord's side? It means to worship Him through the only appointed way, Christ Jesus, the smitten, crucified, dead, buried, risen Savior. Worship Him that way. You can't come to God any other way. And you know what Moses said? I like the way it's worded here. He said, look at verse 26 again. He said, "Who's on the Lord's side? Let him come to me." And that reminds me of our Savior's words in Matthew chapter 11. "Who's on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. All you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest." Who's on the Lord's side? What does that mean? It means you believe salvation altogether by grace. Not free will, but free grace. You bow to God's way of saving sinners. What are the marks of true worship, of really being on the Lord's side? Well, number one, confession. Moses said, "Who's on the Lord's side?" And all the sons of Levi stepped over. He said, "Who's on the Lord's side? Come to me." And here's the sons of Levi. And they said, "We are." They just step over there. They said, "We're with you. We're on God's side." This is a tragic mistake. This is awful idolatry. We're on the Lord's side. We confess and we identify with God's servant, God's message. Don't tell me you're on the Lord's side and you identify with some false religion or false preacher out here. You're not on the Lord's side. If you're on the Lord's side, you identify with those who preach the Lord as He set forth in the Word of God. That's what we do. We identify with God's people. And we separate from those who don't believe the Word of God. Moses said, "Come over here. Don't you stay over there." How can you stay over there with the idolaters? How can you go to church with the idolaters? How can you associate with those who deny the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace? Separate yourself from them. And boldness. Take out that sword. The Word of God. And here's something else. What happens to those who are not on the Lord's side? Well, look at verses 27 and 28. Death. Death. Destruction. The children of Levi did, verse 28, did according to the word of Moses. There fell that day of the people 3,000 men. You going to remain an idolater? Let me tell you something. You end for everlasting death. Now you go ahead and have it. You enjoy your fun. Enjoy the big crowds. Enjoy the excitement. Go ahead and cast your lot with all these big charismatic churches. But one of these days, God's going to get you. His judgment's going to find you. And as judgment finds you, eternity keeps you. That's for sure. Well, what about those who were spared judgment? What was the reason for that? Oh, I can tell you. Look at verse 30. It came to pass the next day, on the morrow, Moses said unto the people, you've sinned a great sin. Now, I will go up. I'm going up as your representative, as your mediator unto the Lord, and I'm going to make an atonement for your sin. I'm going to appease God's justice with the sacrifice of an innocent animal in your stead. And this atonement speaks of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the atonement. He is the great reconciler. He's the one who made things right. He didn't try to make things right. He didn't try to save His people. He didn't try to put away sin. He did save His people from their sins. He offered Himself to God. And it's just like Moses said, Lord, let these people live. If you don't let them live, just kill me. Kill me. And that's what our Lord Jesus said. Father, let these people live. Take me. Take me instead. And I want you to notice something. Go down here to verse 34. Here's the result of this now. The Lord said to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of the book. That verse 34. Therefore now go. And He doesn't say, go and forsake these people. He says, lead them. Lead them to the place I've spoken to you of. This people, this religious but lost bunch, this idolatrous bunch, you mean to lead them? Lead them. Because I made a promise and I'm going to fulfill it. And then He said, look down chapter 33, verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, He says, depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land that I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it. And I'm going to send my angel before thee. And he's going to take care of the enemies. And children of God, let me tell you something. Our Lord has sent and continues to send, in a sense, the angel of the covenant, the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes before us. He's gone before us on the glory. And He's staked a claim to our everlasting inheritance. And through Him, we shall enter in. Because He made the atonement for our sins. Well, let's sing one stanza 42. All hail the power of Jesus' name. You got a lot to think about this morning. When you go away from here, who's on the Lord's side? Are you? Are you? And you know, there's a sense in which you need to ask this question of yourself every day. Every single, am I on the Lord's side? I am by His grace. Let's sing first stanza, all hail the power. 42.